Amen, amen, amen. If you can, you can be seated. If you have your Bibles, get those out. We like to use phones. You got the Bible app on your phone. We love technology. Get that out. And if you're taking notes, we've been teaching through a series we started just last week called Matters of the Mind. Amen. How many of you know the Bible says that we are a three-part being? Amen. We are spirit. We have a soul, which talks about your mind, your will, and your emotions. Amen. And we live in this body. And how many of you know that your soul is an important part of your life? Amen. How many of you know it is important to have a healthy soul? I've seen so many folks in the church preach on the spirit, the spirit, the spirit, the spirit, be led by the spirit. And we do that. We teach all through the word. But how many of you know there's balance? Say the word balance. There's balance. Come on. The Bible is balanced. God is not heavily lopsided on one side of the scale. Amen. And so we believe in the ministry of the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit in our lives. We also believe in taking care of our soul. So this series is going to go on for the next several weeks. Amen. And if you did anybody enjoy last week, if you were taking notes, there were some things that I have been learning studying this out. And I could tell you, man, when you have a healthy, come on, mind, emotions, how many of you know that's going to produce a better you? Amen. And then for those of us that are believers, that we've been called as a church to preach the gospel, how many of you know the world is going to look out there and they're going to look at us and go, man, those guys really love one another. I could see that they go through some things, but you know what? I see because they're in relationship with their Heavenly Father, come on, and His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that they're able to get some resolve. Amen. How many of you know the Bible is God speaking to you? Amen. So when we get into the Word of God and we break bread as we do on Sundays and Wednesdays and in your home and, you know, when you're at home and you're on YouTube or maybe you're driving down the road and you hear the Word of the Lord, come on, whether it's through music or through, you know, it's important to get that Word into you. Amen. Romans 12, you're taking notes. We've talked about Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, brethren, what does it say? I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your what? Bodies a living sacrifice. What? Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then in verse 2, he says something like this. He said, being not conformed to this world, but what? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how many of you know that it is metamorpho? It means it's like a caterpillar. Anybody ever seen a caterpillar? Have you ever seen a caterpillar go through the stages where it turns into a butterfly? It goes from a caterpillar to a butterfly, which means there's a changing. Amen. And so it's not enough to just know. How many of you know there's a lot of believers who know the Word? Amen. So it's not about renewing your mind and getting in the Word and reading the Scripture to just know something. But it's also to know something, but it's also we have a responsibility as believers to what? Act upon that Word. Amen. James says this, the book of James says, the doer of the Word is the one who is blessed in all that he does. Amen. And so we've been talking about our soul and our mind, will, and emotions. This kind of recap of where we went last week. We talked about a goal in this series. We said that a goal is to equip you and educate you and direct you down a path to what? Mental and emotional health. Amen. And how many of you know, let me say this again, a healthy soul. How many know vacations? Everybody say vacations. Come on, a little bit louder. Vacations are a good thing. How many of you know time away is a good thing? If you're in a job, come on, and you're busy, you say, well, I can't get away. Well, how many of you know you can get in your car and go to Pigeon Forge, or you can get in your car and go for a beautiful hike in the Smokies? Listen, there are people that pay thousands of dollars, come on, thousands and thousands of dollars to come vacation here. Come on, don't get so bored with your community that you don't really realize what you have access to. That you can get in your car with a minimum amount of gas, drive down the road, park it, and walk alongside some of the most beautiful rivers. Do you hear what I'm saying? You can go and grab somebody and say, hey, let's go get a cup of coffee. Come on, let's go the top of Water Rock Knob and let's just sit up there. Come on, let the warmth of the sun. What are you doing? You're resting. Come on, you're taking a break. Amen. And you know, in those moments, those quiet moments, amen, there may be a lot of noise, but there's moments like that is when God begins to speak to you. Amen. Because you're unbusying your mind and you're allowing the Lord to speak to you. Come on, His voice gets clearer. Amen. And so again, the goal of this series is mental, emotional health. Your soul, say my soul, is important. Your soul is important. Amen. And we talked about issues. We talked about stress and depression and different things. If we're not going to go into all of that, but if you want to jump online at destinychurch.wnc.com, you can have access to last week's message. Amen. But I want to go over a few foundational things. We said this last week. We said our loyalty to our future must be greater than our loyalty to our past. We talked about letting things go. We talked about before we can move forward, we have to let some things go. Anybody remember last week we started talking about Tarzan? Come on, I grew up in Florida. Tarzan was filmed in my neighborhood. That was Ocala, Florida. And how many of you know when he swung from vine to vine? Come on. How many of you know a lot of Tarzan was filmed at Silver Springs? Did you know that? Yeah. And Silver Springs, there's some of the most beautiful water holes that I've swam in, which now you don't have access to. That back when I was living there as a child, you had access to. Amen. And if you were local, you really know how to get in with some of the locals to even some of the better spots. And I'm talking about beautiful water. Amen. And I remember jumping into that water thinking, you know, swimming and looking up and going, Tarzan was filmed here. And I can just picture him swinging from vine to vine. What did we say last week? That we, when he began to swing from vine to vine, yet the principle is simple. But it's a valid truth that you have to move forward. And as he moved forward, how many of you know he let go of the last vine so he can continue to go, what, forward. It's the Tarzan principle. We also said this. We said we have two primary choices. We said that we can accept the conditions as they are, right? And we also made the statement that we can accept the responsibility to bring change. Amen. What are we talking about? We're talking about our emotional health. We're talking about things of the past, letting go. Come on, letting God come in and minister to you. We also made this statement last week that we are limited in fulfilling our outward purpose until we deal with our inward baggage. How many of you know that you have a purpose, God has a purpose, and he has a plan for your life? It's not just this Christian cliche that we say to people to say when we knock on the door, how are you doing? God loves you, and he what? Has a plan for your life. Amen. Is that true? But how many of you know that when there's baggage, we're more reluctant to knock on the door and go, God has a plan for your life? Why? Because what baggage does is it sends you in, come on, introverted. It moves you inward. It's always thinking about you, and God's saying, come on, let me have that. Let me help you, right? Right? Let me help you with that. And is there anybody in here? Come on, you've dealt with baggage in life. You've let some things go. Right now, you're currently in the midst of working through some things. How many of you know all of us are in our spiritual growth process with God? We're growing in the things of God. That's why I can't look at my brother here and kind of compare my life to his, because my life is not his life is not mine, but we're come from two different places, right? And God is working with us, though. He's growing us. We're growing spiritually. Amen. We're moving out of babyhood. We're moving into the toddler phase, and we're moving out of the toddler phase. We're starting to walk, and then we're starting to turn into a child, and then we're moving into a teenager, spiritually speaking. How many know we're always going to be learning and growing in God? Amen. And so it's important that we deal, come on, with God's help. The things, the baggage, how many of you know there's things in our lives we talked about last week that there's things in our lives sometimes we don't even know that it was a strategy of Satan, a thought, an idea, and suggestion that he inserted into your soul, amen, and God the Holy Spirit comes into your life and says, hey, that way of thinking, come on, is no good. It doesn't produce success. It doesn't produce the victory. Come on, come on. Or that prospering life that I died, come on, as Jesus, the Son of God, I died for you. So let's deal with this baggage so you can go on and live in the benefits, amen, as a child of God, that Jesus Christ died for. Amen. How many of you know you can live in sadness and depression? Come on, anxiety. There's a lot of serious things going on in the world, and the world needs truth. It needs demonstration. It needs a real, the world needs a real answer. They don't need our religious cliches and our little Christian statements. They need the word of God. They need truth spoken plainly. Come on. Amen. And so I remember when I had baggage in my life, God came into my life and he sent, come on, God works through his body. And he'll send people to you to encourage you and to exhort you. Amen. And we know, according to Ephesians chapter 4, is the reason why God put the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist, come on, in the body of Christ to equip us, the church, right? To build us up, to strengthen us, to teach us some things. Amen. But how many of you know you don't have to be just an apostle or a prophet or a teacher to speak the word of the Lord? You don't have to be a prophet, right? You don't have to be an evangelist. Come on, to be an ambassador, to be a witness. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. So what are we doing when we have a healthy emotion and we deal with these issues like baggage? It helps us to be free to be a witness. It helps us to be free to live. Come on, maybe you're running a business, right? Do you want your business to prosper? Well, 3 John 2 says this, "Beloved, I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul," what? Prospers. Come on. And 3 John 2 is talking about spiritually, physically, socially, emotionally, financially. So we said this, we are limited in fulfilling our outward purpose until we deal with our inward baggage. And how many of you know you're not doing that alone? I'm going to say it again. You're not doing that alone. Ask God. Come on, Father, thank you for helping me get through this tough season in my business, in my marriage. Come on, in my money. You got grandchildren that are going through hard times. Amen. We also dealt with this idea that it is God's will for us to be healthy. Come on, spirit, soul, and body. We said we just give an example in 3 John 2. We also acknowledged that we made this statement that the presence of the storm does not negate the presence of God. Revisiting last week. Amen. Just because you're going through something doesn't mean that God has just disappeared from you. Amen. Right? So that means we don't isolate, we don't hide. What do? We allow God, come on, to come, the word of God, come on, mentors, people, spiritual people to come into our lives and help us, amen, to love on us, to strengthen us, amen. How many of you know you could be resistant to the very person that God puts into your life? How many of you know that could be your spouse? Your wife is speaking to you, honey, I kind of have an encouraging word for you, and you as a husband, come on, I've been here. Well, I don't want to hear that today. I mean, you know, wives, likewise, your husband's saying, I got some exhortation for you. You're like, I don't want to hear that today. You know, you get that grizzly bear growl, go, and you want to go what? Introverted, right? You're like, you want to turn inward. And we said in John 10:10 that what? There's a thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. His name is Satan. But Jesus said what, guys? He said, I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. So just kind of recapping here. So there is an adversary to your soul. Amen. And his name is Satan. Amen. And so when you're going through stuff, just understand, we said this in Psalm 23:4. We read this, that even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Amen. God is with us. Amen. And he knows, we made this statement last week, that he knows everything about you. Did you know this? God the Father, he knows everything about you. He knows what you're going through. And if you're taking notes and you missed last week, I love this statement. We said this, that there is nothing you can do to make him love you more, and there is nothing you can do to make him love you less. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? And so, we left off last week saying, are we steering our life based upon what we see and feel or by what we believe? What do we believe? What we believe as children of God should be the word of God. What has God said about this situation? Amen. Well, you say, I never really thought about, come on, putting God first, because I usually just handle everything myself, right? Come on, there's times where we're like, I got this. And God's like, I'm sitting here waiting for you to ask me, and I'll join in and help you. How many of you know God will help you? So we talked about stop pretending. We made the statement, let's stop pretending and break the silence in isolation. We talked about being open to discuss our problems, issues. How many of you know it's okay? We said this last week again, it's okay to not be okay. Come on, it's okay to not be okay. And that we needed to let down our walls. How many of you know when you let down your walls, come on, it puts us in a position where we stop pretending, come on, everything is okay. Come on, it's not saying that I'm not in faith and believe in God. It's just saying I need, in the multitude of counselors, there is what? Safety, there's wisdom, there's provision. There's, and not just any counselors, how many of you know spiritual counselors? One that people that know God's word, amen, amen. And not just the pastor. How many of you know there's people in this room right here that know the word of God? Come on, not everything has to go through a pastor. Not everything has to go through the prophet and the teacher. Come on, the apostle. Well, we could speak exhortation and encourage, but how many of you know, as believers, we have a responsibility as believers, come on, to help people break these taboos. Come on, this way of thinking. Amen. This is the way it's always been, and this is the way it's always going to be. You ever heard that before? Come on. So stop pretending. We talked about breaking the silence in isolation. Come on. We made the statement. You think you're hiding your flaws and faults, but maybe some, but the rest of us clearly see them. There's times where you're going through things and people see them. There's times as a pastor, we're pastors that are very transparent. Come on, you'll know when your pastor's going through things. Come on, if you love this house and you're submitted here and you honor this house, come on, you know God will put it on your heart and say, pray for your pastors. But there's times where you don't even have that leading. You just know, I could just see that they're going through things. And how many of you know in this house, we're not pretenders. As pastors of this house, we're very transparent. We don't pretend. Come on. But we do acknowledge God in our lives and his power and his supernatural ability in our life. What? To help us overcome. So that I'm not talking, come on, Pastor Rachel and I are not talking our circumstances. We're in faith, believe in God, but we're with biblical counselors that can love on us and encourage us and strengthen us. And how many of you know we have pastors over us? Amen. Not to lord over us, not to tell us what to do, but to bring counsel. Amen. To pray together. How many of you know that's a good thing to have? Come on. You're not called to be Gilligan's Island where you just go off. Anybody remember Gilligan's Island? How many of you know Gilligan? They all went out in a big party. It was like, woo, come on, we're all having fun, right? And everybody, you watch the opening of Gilligan's Island, and then what do you see? You see them get shipwrecked. Amen. How many of you know somebody in the Bible was shipwrecked? How many of you know the Apostle Paul said, I perceive that we're going to be shipwrecked? Come on. But did he get into fear? Did he isolate? Did he? No, he didn't. He was hearing from heaven in the midst of a crazy storm. He knew God was showing him, come on, that this boat is going to wreck, and you need to inform some people. See, you can be in the midst of a tornado. How many of you know in the center of a tornado, it's one of the most peaceful places? Come on, it's the most quiet in the sense that there's a calm in the center of the storm, but in the center of that tornado, in the eye of the storm. But around it, how many of you know there's debris flying everywhere? Come on, things are falling apart. So you could be right in the middle of storm. You can be right in the middle of things going on in life, and you could be right in the middle, in the pocket of the Father's arm, just saying, Lord, I know you got me. Lord, I know you got me. Come on. And he just responds back and says, yes, I do. And you just keep believing me. You keep trusting me. Come on. What is that doing? That's producing a healthy soul. You're not isolating. Come on. You're not stepping back and hiding. You're saying, Father, I'm going to stop pretending. I need your help. You're a good father. Come on, let down your walls. So we also said this, that Satan, if you're taking notes, Satan works in the shadows. Come on, God works in the light. See, the enemy wants you in the darkness. He wants you in the shadow. He wants you, come on, as a son and daughter of light, he wants you stepping back, not forward like Tarzan, the Tarzan principle moving forward. He wants you to go back into your old way of thinking. Come on, well, I guess I'm just no good. I guess... come on, all these people in the news, oh, they made all these projections. I guess they're right. Go on, who are you going to believe? Come on, the enemy works in the shadows. See, when you expose and you don't insulate and you don't stay inside in your soul, but you get around people and you open up your heart. Some of you, listen, can I just say this? Some of you have been toasted. You have been burned in this area. And the thing is you've had people that weren't confidential in your life. How many of you know God, your Father, is a confidential person? Come on, the Holy Spirit's confidential. Amen. And because some of us, let me hit this angle, we've been burned, we don't want to come out of isolation because we don't trust that some people in the church, in the body, can contain our confidential information without blasting it all over the church and the community. That it's a good place to say amen because it's true. Some of us have been toasted. Come on, we've been burned by this. And that's why we don't open up. That's why we isolate, because our leaders have failed us. We've had people that have disappointed us. We've had people that have said things. Come on. We've said things in confidence. And it's like, I hear you, Pastor, but I'm not coming out because this hurts. But see, that's staying in the shadow. That's not allowing God to deal with your pain. Listen to me. There are confidential people in the body of Christ. There are people that you can trust that are confidential, that are quiet, come on, that will contain your information so that when you come out of the darkness and out of the shadows and into the light and things, you're like, Pastor, I need you to pray with me. Well, the first thing I ask is, do you want others involved in your prayer? Come on. And they say, yes, I do. And then I get people in this house that know how to pray in faith and we get results. Amen. Last night, I got a text for prayer. How many of you know we got the prayer? And I said, yeah, what do we believe in God for? What are you believing God for? And they made that plainly stated. And then we begin to pray. Amen. So know that if you've been hurt in this area, you know, you don't stay in that place. Renew your mind that God is confidential. Get into his presence. Get this information out to him. Amen. Because we don't need to be insulated. We don't need to keep that stuff to ourselves. Amen. I could tell you, can I just be vulnerable for a minute? Would you all allow a pastor to be vulnerable? I mean, there's times when you're pastoring, you're leading things. Amen. Here's your pastor's vulnerable moment. There's things that my wife and I have walked through just in 2019 that would make most people crawl up into a ball and disappear. But it's because of those, which is what I'm getting into today, it's because of those that are around us, those that God put into our lives. Listen, you don't want to just put any voice into your life. Come on, you want to have the voice that your spirit, come on, you bear witness, this person is having a voice in my life. Do you hear what I'm saying? Not everyone will have that place in your life, but there are people that God had sent to you to have voice in your life. Amen. And we said this, virtually any emotion or psychological problem from addictions to depression will have three common traits. Three common traits. We said this last week. Number one is alienation. Number two is an emotional isolation. And number three, we said unhealthy connections or relationships. We said that there's this taboo or this way of thinking. There are lies that defeat us. You're the only one that feels or act this way. Come on, you are not the only one who is going through something. There are others around you, come on, that are going through things. It is the enemy who wants to keep you in the shadows to make you think you're the only one that's having financial problems. Do you hear what I'm saying? You're the only one who needs healing in your body. Everybody else is good. You're the only one that is not healthy in your soul. Come on, I just told you, there's times in my life that I was not healthy not as a pastor, not as a businessman, not even, come on, just as a son of God, a child of God. I was not healthy in my soul. Come on, I read my Bible. I got the word in me, but I was allowing some things to weigh me down. What did the enemy begin to do? See, he's strategic. He wants you to insulate. He wants you to stay in the shadow. He wants you to say and buy into this lie. You're the only one. Come on, you're the only one. And here's another lie. How about don't tell anyone because they just won't understand. They won't understand. Don't tell anybody. They'll never understand. They won't understand anything. You ever had that thought? Come on, ladies, come on. Guys, you're going through things, married, single, dating, no matter where you're at in life, it's this thought. How about this one? You can't beat this on your own. It's a lie of the enemy. Come on. That's why we renew our mind to the Word of God. That's why we put counselors in our life that when we have vulnerable moments, come on. You're not ignoring that pastor or that friend's phone call because I just don't want to deal with this today, because you know that God is using them to speak into your life. And you're like, I ain't hearing this today. Does this resonate? You can meet a spiritual need and you can meet a natural need. How many know it's good to go to foreign missions and in your own community to rebuild houses and things like that? But it's completely irrelevant to go build a tin roof without preaching some form of the gospel to them. Amen. How many of you know there's a balance in that? Praise God. And you may spend a season where you're building and you're building and you're building, and then here's the opportunity. Come on, because you've built and developed a healthy relationship to what? Preach the gospel. Amen. And now, how many of you know when you meet a natural need, most people are going to listen to you when it comes to spiritual things. Amen. Maybe it is just that cup of coffee and that few minutes of fellowship with another lady, ladies, at Starbucks or at Dunkin' or even at your own homes. Come on, that you could just get vulnerable for a minute and open up your hearts. Amen. And so we talked about this taboo, this thought that, again, starting today, we're just going to go ahead and kick off a few more thoughts, and then we're going to close out. So today, I just want to make the statement starting here is the idea that I can do it by myself and that I'm not asking for help. So if you're taking notes, this is a follow-up from last week. If you put this up, humility is the path to healing and restoration. Come on. Humility is the path. Write that word down and underline it, path, P-A-T-H. Underline that word. Humility is the path to healing and restoration. If we put up Philippians 2, 3, and 4. And the New Living Translation says this. It says, don't be selfish. Underline this phrase in your Bible or on your phone if you're doing that. How many know you can highlight? It says, don't try to impress others. How many of you know that we can get into this habit? How many of you know when you're dating, this is a thing that you can do when you're dating or you're hanging out or you meet new couples as a brother and sister in Christ? How many of you can get in this thing where you feel like you need to impress somebody? You don't have to impress anybody as a son and daughter of God. Amen. Not even your father. The Bible says that you are approved. Come on, if you've believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that he was raised from the dead, come on. The Bible says he stamps his approval upon you, and you are born again. You have new life, the life of God in you. And he says, whoo, approved. Amen. You mean even if I mess up tomorrow? Yes. Amen. So humility is the path to healing and restoration. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourself. Do not look out only for your own interests. Grab this thought. Do not only, come on, look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Take an interest in others too. See, this is what humility is, folks. Humility is being real. Humility is being authentic. You ever get tired of being around people that aren't real? Come on. I'm talking about church people, folks. I'm not talking about people in the world. I'm talking about people in the church. Come on. We have our little sayings. We have our little rituals and our little traditions and our ways of thinking. Amen. And I just ask you, for the sake of a healthy soul, the way that we respond and think, is it scriptural? Come on, are our traditions and our ways of thinking, are they scriptural? And are they leading people to you, or are they leading people to Jesus? Amen. Amen. I know this is real, but this is where people are. Come on, we're in the last days. If we're going to reach, we talk about reaching a lost generation. Listen, there's people, I'm 41 years old. There are people that have been lost from birth. Okay, for 41 years, there's been people in our generation and before mine that have been lost. They don't have a relationship with God. And guess what? We're still in that place. But see, if you read the Bible and prophecy in the scriptures, you're going to see we're closing in on the last days. We're in those days. If you read Timothy, you will see men, lovers of themselves, boastful. Come on. Lovers of themselves. We can go on with that. We see that. We see people have no regard for anybody else. Come on, it's not just the president of the United States. Well, it's just our president. Wrong. We've had that under every administration, disrespect. It's not the president. Now, he could probably assist in some things in the way that we speak and the way that we honor. But how many of you know it's not just your government's fault? We're in a fallen world, folks. Amen. The only light that people will ever see is you and me. And that's why it's important that we have this humility and this restoration and this healing going on from God. See, walls equals pride, and that's, I can do it myself, right? Humility is, I need help, I need prayer, I can't do it alone. And I'm not saying that you run out to every individual every 5 minutes and, you know, and just like, I need prayer. No, it's saying I go to my Father. I'm not isolating. Come on, I'm gonna have a healthy soul. I'm going to go to my God, my Father, and when I know, the Bible says when I pray, he hears me, amen? And he not only hears me, come on, but whatever thing, 1 John 5, 14 and 15, write this down. It says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his what? His will. How many of you know his word is his will? If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, what does he do? He grants us the petitions, the things that we ask of him. Because we know the word so well that when we're praying, we're going, God, this is what you said, and I put you in remembrance. And God goes, I know. Now let me act upon what I said I would do. Amen. So grace, right? God's power, his favor, his strength, the grace of God can only begin to work in our life when we invite God into the process. When we invite him into the process. Come on, the grace of God shows up when you say, Father, come on in. Come on in. I need your help. Come on. Some of you in here, you're trying to figure out how your soul is so vexed, and you're trying to figure out how in the world to get more business into your 501c3. How into your business? How can, are you thinking about in the business? I'm going to speak to business people for a minute. You're thinking about things. You're pondering. How many of you know your thoughts can get to the point where, as a believer, you're starting to weigh yourself down? Come on. You're starting to get weary in your soul. And you start to, come on, do you see this? Slowly start to isolate. And you put up those walls. And you've gotten so good at it. I've been here. You got so good at it. You're so good at it, you can do it that quick in seconds. Amen. And what we need to do is lay aside the worry and anxiety. Come on and be like, Father, I'm asking for your help. I'm humbling myself. Help me. Because 1 John 5, 14, because what? Write this down. Mark 11, 22 says, have faith in God. Mark 11, 23 says, if you say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you say shall come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you say. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And then there's this mighty verse in 25. And when you stand praying, forgive, that the Father may forgive you of your trespass. What are you saying? I'm saying there's two contexts of Scripture that says that when you pray, the Father hears you, and he will answer you. Come on. So when you're getting business ideas and when you're thinking about things, don't get weary. Don't isolate. Don't disappear. Get around some spiritual counsel. Get some people that you know how to pray. They know the word of God. And get them praying with you, business people. Amen. Get them praying with you. Come on. What are you doing? You're humbling yourself. I can't do this on my own. That's why God made the body, so we can lean on one another. Amen. How about this? James 4, 6 and 7 says this. It says in the New Living Translation, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Listen to this. After we humble ourselves, get this. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Isn't that awesome? That's after we humble ourselves, we can stand against the devil and say, listen, dude, I'm not taking your thoughts, your ideas, and your suggestions. You're like, what are you talking about? Matthew chapter 4. Jesus, come on, was in the wilderness. Satan appeared to him and he said, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. What did Jesus fire back? He said, I am, I am, I am. See, that's not isolating. That's not hiding. See, Satan wants to speak to you and he primarily tries to weigh you down in your soul. Amen. And so don't get lifted up in pride to say, man, I might just really need some help here. Do you see what I'm saying? Listen, here's another vulnerable thing here concerning a pastor. Here's a vulnerable moment. Most ministers that I know that are successful, most people that I know that do ministry, most people that I know that are successful businessmen, you know, they've had many failures. Failure is just a part of success, folks. You're gonna fall. You're gonna have some failures. Come on, you may have fell hard. Come on. But that's okay. Failure is just a part of the growth process. That doesn't mean you stop and you know what? I'm just not going to go any further. No, it means you keep going. You don't isolate. Come on, you get around counsel, you get in the word, you get into, you know, brothers and sisters and small groups, and you get connected to a body of believers that believe the word of God, not just religious traditions and not just cliches, the word, because the word is what's gonna produce results in your life, the Bible. And when you believe that and speak that, that's when you get results as a believer. The word of God. Come on. This isn't just psychology I'm teaching here, folks. This is the Bible. Amen. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and what? He will lift you up, listen to this, in honor. In honor. How about 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6? We're going to move a little bit faster. It says, and all of you, dress yourselves in humility. Listen to this. Grab this statement. As you relate to one another, listen, clothe yourselves, dress yourselves in humility as you what? As you relate to one another. That's a big statement I would underline. For God opposes the proud. You need to underline this statement, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and at the right time, underline the statement. He will lift you up. Think about that for a second. You're telling me that I must decrease and he increases me? Wait a minute. The world says, don't do that. That's not the way that you get financially increased. Come on. But God says, I take the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Amen. So here's some perspective. Here's an interesting perspective. I want to go a little bit over this about Philippians 2:4. It says this, don't look out for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. And the why, it is the why. You ever get the why? Like, I have the why. Like, why? You ever read the Bible and you're just like, you know what? Why? Why? I'm that guy. I'm that analytical mind. I'm like, you're telling me to do something, but I want to know why. Why? Why? And see, hardships, here's the why. Hardships in life produce an attitude of self-preservation. Think about that for a minute. I don't know about y'all, but when I was studying this out, man, it set me free, this message. And we're gonna keep ministering on this. Come on, we're gonna put this online. Let me say it again. Hardships in life produce an attitude of self-preservation. You go back into self-preservation. Selfishness. What are you saying? Selfishness or being self-centered. And I know that's kind of a heavy pill to swallow, but it's the real deal, man. It says, I need, I can't, I won't, and never again. You ever made that statement? Never again. You ever been there? Never again. I've seen people so angry. Never again am I hanging out with them people. Never again. Never again. Never again. Come on, I'm not going to that store. Never again. They didn't give you your coupon discount. Never again. I've been shopping here. Never again. Come on, we just came through Christmas. I know a lot of you were working some coupons and some discounts. Amen. We just came through Thanksgiving and Black Friday. There's some of you that were serious about these discounts. What are you saying? Hardships in life produce an attitude of self-preservation. See, when Jesus hears that his cousin, John the Baptist, has been beheaded, what do we see in the Gospels? What do we see? Matthew 14, 13 and 14 says this. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be what? Alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Underline this statement. Jesus saw the huge crowd. Jesus saw the huge crowd. As he stepped from the boat, and he had what? Compassion on them and healed their sick. If you're taking notes today, healing comes to us when we get our eyes off our pain and on to helping others. See, Jesus just had somebody who is very dear to him have his head decapitated from his body. And Jesus was moved to the point where he said, I just got to be alone. But you also read in the same context that Jesus saw at the same time a huge crowd. Come on, I've read this scripture hundreds of times, y'all, and never seen it this way. Come on, You can read a scripture a million times and God still can bring revelation, revelation, revelation. It set me free. See, I've always been accused as a person. People have even come at me and say, dude, you're going through things. You just need to isolate. You need to get in the shadows. You need to chill. No, I'm seeking God, praying, but at the same time, I learned this long ago from my mentors and people who were spiritual people, according to the word of God, spoke this into my life many years ago, and that was that healing comes to us when we get our eyes off our pain and onto helping others. My father is the very person that I'm just going to throw out there this morning. He's one of a few people that said, son, don't isolate, don't sit still. Come on, when you're unemployed and you lost your job, don't you sit around. You get up every morning, you get ready for work, you go grab a rake out of the garage, start raking leaves. Come on, you keep yourself going. You get yourself busy. Don't you isolate. Come on. Talking about a healthy soul this morning, folks. Don't you isolate. Come on. If you're in between contracts, call somebody up. Make phone calls. Nothing's going on. You go grab a broom and you help your family. And you notice I didn't say wife. It's not just your wife's responsibility to keep the house clean, men. It's your responsibility too. Amen. Amen. Pick up a broom, sweep a floor. Ladies, same thing. Children, teach your kids to do this. Amen. But don't stop. Keep moving. Come on. Amen. Get out there and start helping others. We say, I don't even have gas in my car. We'll begin to call people. Begin to use what resources of encouragement that you have. If your cell phone bill is paid, pick up your phone if you have no gas in your tank and encourage somebody today. Even when you're going through something. Why? Because I'm not isolating. Why? So that I don't insulate, so I don't go inward. I don't go backwards. It's like, come on, man. What are you saying? I've learned that healing comes to us when we get our eyes off our pain and onto helping others. See, and I want to say this. There's this taboo. And we said this last week. And helping others, it brings us back from what? A deserted place. Sometimes you'd be like Gilligan's Island. I'm on shipwrecked on a desert. And God's going, don't be Gilligan. Listen to the counsel. Listen to the voices I've put into your life. Listen to the word of God. Come on, go get that teaching out that you used to listen to every day that we don't do anymore. Amen. And so this other taboo or way of thinking that counseling, I want to hit this real quick, that counseling and therapy are for weak people and that real Christians don't do counseling. I want to nail this to the wall just a little bit today, and then we're going to close out here in a few minutes. This taboo or this thought that counseling and therapy are for weak people. Real Christians don't do counseling. Come on, real. Well, I'm just a faith guy. I don't do that stuff. Right? So I want to say it like this. That seeking counsel, if you're taking notes, is a sign of strength, not weakness. Seeking counsel is a sign of strength, not weakness. Amen. Well, I want people to know it's okay to get help. Amen. You need to know it's okay to get help. If you're having vulnerable moments in your life, raise your hand in here if you've ever had in all of your years of living where people have stepped into your life and brought some kind of encouragement to your life and it got you out of being inward and in self-focused and it got you going. You know what? Dude, it really, come on, let's just be transparent. Some of the truth can kind of sting sometimes. Will you resonate with that? Does anybody resonate with that statement? It hurts sometimes. Because what it does is it steps on our way of thinking that really isn't biblical or scriptural. It's just something that great-grandma and great-grandpa or a way of thinking that somebody taught me that's not even biblical. And that's why we've been teaching these series, if you go back and look, that says we need to think about what we're thinking about. Come on, what are we thinking about? Amen. And then if you're going to doubt anything, don't doubt God. We said doubt your doubts. Come on. 2 Corinthians 10 talks about casting down imaginations and arguments and every high thing and thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing that thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We're sons and daughters of God. But we go through stuff and we do need counsel. And it is a sign of strength. Listen, for faith people that are in, you know, I'm just a faith guy. Well, we're all faith guys. Come on, Jesus retreated many times to go to the Father to do what? If you read the Gospels, many times he went to seek the Father. Many times he departed. Many times, there's a time where he even rebuked his disciples for falling asleep while he was ministering, the Father God was ministering, come on, to Jesus. Amen. What about marriage counseling? Come on, I need life coaching. It's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of great strength. I need that coaching. I need that coaching in my life. Come on. But listen, but see, there's times where I've been in places where I've had a pass to be in meetings in private. Come on. There's times where I've met folks for the first time and they said things to me that completely set me free. They did not know about my situation. I mean, you know, that's God working on your behalf. But you just don't swallow everything that somebody says. You consider those things that they say. And you weigh them according to the word of God. Amen. Come on. Even spiritual people. But when somebody brings a sure, encouraging word to you, receive that word, man. Proverbs 11:14 in the Amplified. Where there is no wise, intelligent guidance, the people fall and go off course like a ship without a helm. But in the abundance of wise and godly counselors, there is what? Victory. Say that word with me. Say victory. Victory. Say it louder. Victory. Proverbs 15:22. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. Woo! Isn't that good? Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Don't isolate. This is not helping us produce a healthy soul. So I'm going to close with this. Proverbs 24:6 says, so don't go to war without wise guidance. There's that word again. Let me say it again. Victory depends on having many advisors.